very dreary day. We've had such a wonderful weather, and now the fog has come. So, as we listened in the gospel today about Jesus saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life, this is often a text that people who are no longer members of the church use to sort of to separate themselves. In other words, this text that says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come unto the Father except through me, is a real excuse for many people to use this scripture, is that only Christians are going to heaven. In other words, or whatever you want to call it. And I have had a lot of people quote that to me and say, and it's really a deep misunderstanding of what John is truly speaking about, or how John is portraying Jesus' teachings. One of the things that enlightened me in seminary many years ago is I took a course on Eastern spirituality and Christian mysticism. And one of the texts that we read was called the Tanisho. And the Tanisho is a Zen Buddhist sacred text. And in that, it said that no one can come to salvation except through this path. And also many years traveling to India, and visiting the great sacred holy Hindu temples. And there would be portions of the temple that unless you're Hindu, you cannot enter. And so we take that as being better than, or and people who are not. But what it is it's a call to holiness. What Jesus is saying here is a call to holiness. What the Zen Buddhists were saying in the Tanisho was a call to holiness. And holiness is something that is set apart, that is made sacred, but it's also a completeness. In other words, if you fully give yourself to the Christian path, you will come to full union with God. The problem is, as G.K. Chesterton has often said, is that there's nothing wrong with the Christian path. It's just that it has never been tried. It's that people don't fully give themselves to it. And that's what Jesus is saying. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you give yourself to following my path, you will come to the realization of full union with God. If you read the mission of the church is to unite all people to God in Christ. That is the mission of the church. That doesn't mean converting people. It means uniting people to God in Christ. That we understand that sense of oneness. When Jesus is in the garden in his last discourse in John, he says, Father, I pray that we all may be one. Not equal, one. equality is something that exists in our Constitution. It's a wonderful, noble thing. But oneness is much higher because it requires love. It requires the fullness of love and fully dedicating oneself to God. So all of my friends who are spiritual but not religious love to quote this text of saying that Christians think that they're the only ones going to heaven. And it's like, yes, it may have been used that way by certain sects of Christianity, but that's not what the text in John is saying. And the other thing that's really important for us to understand on the Christian journey is that it is a journey. It is a passage. It's we do not come to Christ all at once. It is an evolution. We hopefully are evolving and growing, and that's what's so beautiful about this passage in Peter, about being living stones, that we are being willing to be made spiritual, into be part of something greater than ourselves. You might even say that one of the issues in America today is between the people who are religious but not spiritual and the people who are spiritual but not religious. And both are missing the mark. To be religious without being spiritual means I am not alive. That I am addicted to some sort of structure and identification that I call myself, but I am not alive on the inside. I have not been awakened to be called out into relationship on a path which means that I have to let go of all of my ego identifications in order to find myself fully in Christ. That is the lifelong path to God. That's the lifelong path. But to only come to church and to adhere to a certain kind of doctrine, but not to let it affect my soul, is religion without spirituality. And there is a lot of that in America right now. And then the reaction to that is the spiritual but not religious. I can be spiritual. I can have my own little personal relationship. I can have a little bit of Buddhism and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and voila, here I am. Rowan Williams says the danger in that is that it's so vague. And that people think that they can evolve without being connected to a community with people who are different from themselves. Because it's not easy to rub elbows with people who are different from ourselves. But that is the very thing that challenges us and helps us see in ourselves what we need to let go of. Evelyn Underhill, who was really the harbinger of bringing mysticism back to the Christian faith, And an Anglican at that, you know, mostly well-known from the 1930s to 1960s. And she wrote the seminal work on mysticism. And she said there cannot be any real mysticism without connection to the institution. She said, because that requires community, that it provides a foundation and the sacraments, whether that be Buddhism or Christianity or whatever, that I am connected to something larger than myself, that I am not a fully evolved human being out here on a lily pad all alone, but that I come to the fullness of unity in community. Community. That I need others in order to evolve. And even monks are recommended to be connected to a community of some sort, even if they're hermits, that they need to become connected to a community or they go crazy. There has to be something larger than themselves that helps to guide them. As therapists often say, one needs a container. One has to have some sort of container in which to evolve, because there is some safety and security in that. And just as children need a container, they need to know what the boundaries are. And certainly as we evolve, sometimes we have to let go of the container and we have a new one that's bigger and more spacious. But that's how we grow, is we have some sort of petri dish in which we evolve. So to be a living stone means that I give myself fully, wholeheartedly to what it is I say that I believe. The problem with religion without spirituality is that there is no practice. There is no spiritual practice. It's all about believing in a certain tenet of beliefs. But it requires absolutely nothing of us. No transformation. And the same can be said also for spiritual but not religious, because there's nothing to challenge spiritual but not religious. So it's not about either or. It's really a both and. How can we hold on to the foundation and also nurture in us this evolution of relationship with God? It's easy for us to compartmentalize, to have part of our life where we practice our faith and the rest not. One of the things that the vestry does is we begin with prayer and Lectio Divina to invite the Spirit into the guidance of the business of the church. We don't come to do business. It has to be guided by Spirit. Our finances, everything that we have, it needs to be informed by Spirit. Certainly, we ask people of skill to give us their opinions, and, but it also requires spirit. That's what sets the church apart from some other institution, is that we are asking ourselves to be guided by spirit in all the things that we do, every area of our life. So this passage that we come back to of I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last week, Jesus's metaphor was I am the gate. I am the gate, the door, the doorway. If you go through me, if you follow my ways and my practices, this will lead you to unity in God. He says that over and over in John. I and the Father are one. And I myself can do nothing without the Father. So I think the invitation for us as Christians is that we need to dig a little deeper. When people tell us, well, you know, I don't want to be a part of something that is exclusive or exclusionary. And this isn't an exclusionary passage, because you will find the same thing in every religion. What it's asking is that we give ourselves to it wholeheartedly. Not something on the side. I remember several years ago reading that sociologist of religion has said that religion has become a leisurely activity in the United States. It's something we do on the side when we have time. But there is no evolution or transformation in that, because we're not giving ourselves to it wholeheartedly. We're not living it. We're not immersing ourselves in it. So to follow Jesus Christ means that we are simply giving ourselves with all of our heart. And there is more room for invitation. And if we give ourselves with all of our heart, then I think there will be more Christian witness to the world. But as long as our faith is a side dish, you know, we really have no witness to the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to oneness with God except through me. Amen.
Amen.